Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 5. We'll read verses 8 through 12 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Hosea chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. Hosea chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven, after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. And let's finish on verse 12 together. Ready? Therefore I will be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. And let's pray. Father, thank you for being our God. Lord, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, and we're reminded of those arms that you reach down around us and hold us for eternity. Thank you for those everlasting arms. God, this morning, as our preacher reminded us what happens at salvation, and as we go soul winning, the excitement of resurrection, and yet we still stand before you needy. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May we listen intently. May we get the truth from heaven that he has gotten from you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
He's rather shy when he sings, isn't he? A little bit suppressed. Thank God for somebody that attacks a song the way it ought to be sung. Thank God for it. Tonight, my sermon will be a little bit different. You're probably thinking they're always a little bit different. Tonight, the title of my sermon is this, God the Moth, M-O-T-H, God the Moth. Hosea 5:12, it says, therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. I had decided once I would for sure preach this sermon that I was going to get a moth to use as an illustration. Well, usually out at my house, there are big moths flying around everywhere. So about the time I decided to preach this sermon, I don't know what happened to all the moths. The devil chased the moths away, and I couldn't find any. Early this morning, I was out in my house coat and my Superman pajamas. I had me a ball jar, and I was out trying to chase down these moths. I wasn't doing a very good job. I don't know what it was. First of all, I turned off the light. That was a dumb idea. They all spread out once I turn out the light. But I did catch some. You'd be proud of me. I had three. They didn't live through the day. And I couldn't get them resurrected. But I do have this one. I really had this neat idea. I thought if I could, I would take a piece of fishing line or string, and I was going to tie it to one part of the moth and tie the other part to the gooseneck of my microphone, and I was hoping he was going to fly all the way through the service to make a real good illustration for the sermon, but this one, he can't fly. It's dead. So I caught a moth. Funny thing, let me tell you a little bit about the passage of Scripture and the text about which we're speaking. In this passage of Scripture, God is pronouncing judgment on a rebellious people. These people had resisted the commands of God, and instead of obedience to God's word, they followed the commandments of a wicked king and his princes. God announces judgment on these rebellious people, and he said, I will be unto Ephraim as a moth. Now what a strange way for God to describe himself. What a comparison. But you know, I've learned something about the Scripture. God wants to be understood. God has never tried to be complicated. God has never really, though God could impress us with his knowledge and God could impress us with his wisdom, God usually made things very simple for us to understand. You look at the illustrations that God uses throughout the Bible. You look at the illustrations that Jesus used. He talked about bread. Boy, I understand bread. He talked about fish. Boy, I understand fish. He talked about a rock. I understand a rock. He talks about water. I understand water. He talked about fishermen. I understand fishermen. I thank God that God's not trying to impress us. He's just trying to impress his truth upon us. God's not trying to... Now, God's a big shot. There's no doubt about that. But God tries to make it so you and I can understand the Bible. That's how it's supposed to be. He's not trying to hide its principles and truths from us. He's trying to explain it in a way that you and I... Now, I don't know about you, but see, I'm an average Joe. I have an average mentality, and I need to understand that great, big, awesome God in the sky, but he wants to be understood. That's why he picked a moth. I think with a simple examination of the moth, we'll see this evening why God compares himself to this creature called the moth. I think God is telling us there's some things about the behavior of the moth that God could behave in that fashion, and he compares himself to a moth. And I'm going to make some observations. It's going to be a very simple sermon. It's not going to be very bombastic, but I think that we'll see something here. All the times I've read in the Bible about the moth and the comparison to the moth, I want to take the time to actually examine it and see why. And so, I call the sermon, God, the Moth. Number one, let me say this. A moth does not consume cloth that is carefully kept from dust and filth. Usually, a moth goes after those things that are dirty and damp. But if you work hard at keeping something clean, that cleanliness helps to preserve it. Job 13:28 says, "And he, as a rotten thing, consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten." Now, if something's dirty, if it gets moisture in it, if it's dirty, if it's not kept right, then the moth is more apt to eat away at it. And boy, we see moths. I mean, they're everywhere. You can see moths, and sometimes they're there and you're not even seeing them. But I said the first point is, a moth does not consume a cloth that is carefully kept from dust or kept from filth. It's more apt to go after those things that are apt to rot or those things that are in the process of rotting. So let me tell you this. If God is a moth, I think what he's telling us is that you and I, we need to keep ourselves clean.
Yes, sir.
We need to keep clean. We ought to keep our bodies clean. We ought to keep ourselves clean from the filth of the world. And we apply that spiritually. We live in this world, but we're not supposed to be like this world. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of his father is not in him." God said, "I'm a moth. I'm going to eat away at those things that are dirty. I'm going to eat away at those things that are not kept clean." So we want to keep our bodies clean. We ought to want to keep our church clean. We ought to want to keep our minds clean. You know, sometimes we look real good on the outside, but on the inside, we're dirty. You need to keep your mind clean. You're not a good Christian just because of what you look like on the outside, though I think you ought to look like a Christian on the outside. But you're a good Christian because you're working on keeping the outside clean and the inside clean, what you think and what you feel. We ought to keep our minds clean. We ought to keep our homes clean. You see, let's preserve our lives through clean living. Cleanliness will suppress the moth's appetite and desire to consume. Look, I'll just tell you something. You'll never lose your salvation, but you can lose the blessing of God in your life. And when we step away from living clean, God might start chipping away at the blessings that he was bestowing on us because of our cleanliness. So, the first comparison to the moth is this. A moth does not consume cloth that is carefully kept from dust and filth. Number two, a moth will eat at both expensive and at inexpensive materials. I said a moth A moth will eat at expensive material, or it will eat at inexpensive material. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 2 says, "The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all." You know, God made us all. If you're rich, God made you. But wait a minute. If you're poor, God made you. God is the creator of us all. The moth, God, he's no respecter of persons, just so you know. Rich or poor, the moth will eat up our substance if we provide it and and he feels it needs to be done. Listen, if you're an old Christian or a new Christian, all of us are subject to the moth's ability to consume our success if we cause him to feel like he needs to. It doesn't matter how important you are. Doesn't matter how important you think you are. The moth can eat away at your success if you don't keep yourself clean. Sometimes people get this idea, well, I'm so important to God. I'm so important to the church. I'm so important to the cause of Christ. God will tolerate me being dirty. I'm sorry, my friend. God doesn't tolerate the important being dirty or those that may consider themselves less important. God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. Don't you ever get the idea that you're so important and you're so productive for God, or, you know, you've seen the blessing of God on your life over and over again. So you really think it's okay for you to go out and live in a way that would be displeasing to God, because God needs you. God doesn't need anybody. And God is not a respecter of persons. And just like a moth would like to tear into and consume a very inexpensive piece of cloth, but the moth would be more than glad to turn around and to eat the very expensive cloth. Moth is not a respecter of cloth, and God is not a respecter of persons. Number three, a moth eats and devours in secret. A moth will eat and devour in secret. To be honest, I have never seen a moth eating away at material. I've seen the evidence of where a moth has been eating away at material. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Here it's talking about the secret works of God. Now, I see again why God compared himself to the moth. The moth, it eats, it does its little duty, it does it in secret. And God sometimes is eating away, and he does it in secret. God works in our hearts. And sometimes God works in our hearts in a secret way. Sometimes God is working in your heart, and it's not necessarily a public demonstration. It's not necessarily something that you see it or somebody else sees it. But God works sometimes in the dark. He judges sometimes in a secret way. There's some of you that you need to be very, very careful. You need to be careful. You know, if somebody misbehaves and you don't get to see God chastening them, you're wondering if God is. Well, there are times when, just like a parent will discipline in private, there are times our Heavenly Father disciplines in private. There are times when you might be looking at somebody on the outside, you're thinking, well, they ought to feel under conviction right now. You know, you don't have to necessarily see conviction on the outside. Conviction happens on the inside. There are some times that God is eating away at someone's pride and eating away at somebody on the inside. God doesn't owe it to the human race that we see each other under conviction. God just is going to keep his word, and he will convict you of your sin. And you may feel it on the inside. Hey, is God convicting you in secret? Maybe he is. Is God putting pressure on you from the inside? Maybe you're living the life of a hypocrite. Maybe it is that you are giving a good public demonstration of Christianity, but behind closed doors, you're a phony. Maybe behind closed doors, you're stepping away from that public image that you have built for yourself. Let me tell you something. Our God, he works on those secret things, just like the moth. You see, the moth eats and devours in secret. I said, number one, a moth does not consume cloth that is carefully kept from dust and filth. And you and I, if we don't want God consuming our lives, we need to keep ourselves clean. I said, number two, a moth will eat both expensive and inexpensive materials. And you and I better realize that God is no respecter of persons. Nobody's so important that the moth would not consume of their blessings. Number three, we said a moth will eat and devour in secret. Number four, a moth can eat a garment and render it useless. I can remember my mama one day pulling it was a blanket that she had stored in our garage, and it was dirty and dusty. It wasn't sealed. It wasn't in plastic of any sort. We were going to go out in the backyard, and we were going to throw out that blanket and use it a bit like a picnic blanket. And she pulled that thing out, and it had big holes all over it. I couldn't figure it out. I had no idea what had happened. And she told me, she said, we're going to just have to throw this thing in the trash. It's no good anymore. The moths have eaten it. You see, a moth can eat a garment to the point that it's a bit useless. Galatians 5:7 says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Notice there, it says, ye did run well. That means you were running well, but something happened in your Christian life. Now you've been hindered, and you're not as productive, and you're not as useful as what you used to be. Hey, did you know something? Did you know God could choose to stop using you? God could choose to stop using you. God could, we use a terminology, you've heard it before. If God wanted, God can put you on a shelf. God could say, you know something, that lady right there, I'm not going to use her. That man right there, I'm not going to use him. Oh, I don't want God to put me on a shelf. I don't want God to stop using me. That's the whole reason he kept me alive, was to use me. Folks, let's realize something. God owes us nothing, and we owe God everything. A moth could get to eating at the garment, and that moth could end up making that garment unusable. Now, I think this, and you and I need to preserve our usefulness for God. What are we going to do then? Let's keep ourselves clean. Let's make sure that we keep ourselves clean of the secret things of life. Hey, let's not have God eating away and eating away and eating away at us because of us. And then one day God says, you know something, I've been patient, I've been kind, I've tried to get you corrected, but I'm going to put you on a shelf. You see, point number four, a moth can eat at a garment and render it useless. Number five, a moth eats material a little at a time. A little at a time. I've got this moth. I can see its face. Poor moth, this one's cross-eyed. No, this moth, the mouth area of the moth is ever so small. I mean, the moth has to, when it's eating away at something, it eats a little at a time. You know, our God is the kind of God sometimes that he tries to correct us a little here and a little there. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Kings 19:12, and after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. What was that voice? That was God trying to get your attention. You say it's a still small voice. Well, I'll tell you what happens. Sometimes when you're up close to God, he speaks very loudly and very boldly, and you can hear him. But the further you get away from God, not because his voice is weakened, but because your hearing is weakened, sometimes you can just barely hear him. I think sometimes you just know somebody's far away from God. You can preach a sermon and you just know it is exactly what they need. And they sit there like a bump on a log, don't listen to a thing. You don't feel like they were moved at all. And it's as if they could not hear. But thank God there's a still, small voice. You see, a moth eats at material just a little at a time. Is God trying to get your attention is God trying to get your attention with little losses here and there? I don't think every time that we suffer losses in life, it is God trying to punish us or it's God trying to discipline us. But I do know this, God does do some of that. There are some times when we suffer losses, it is God trying to get our attention. I'll promise you this, I know for a fact the Bible teaches if you don't tithe, God will come as a devourer and he will get his tithe out of you. The Bible teaches that in Malachi. That's very clear. But I wonder, what little losses in life are coming your way? That still small voice of God, the moth of God eating away, trying to get your attention. What is it that's not going as well as what you wish? And you're not looking at it like you ought to. You ought to be letting that wake you up. And God's trying to nudge you a little bit. And God's trying to use a little reminder, a little slap on the hand here, a little correction there. Is God the moth trying to get your attention with some little things in life, or does God have to bring a major catastrophe to get your attention? Has God taken from you a little here and a little there, trying to warn you and correct you? I hope that our lives, God does not have to bring on a major catastrophe to get our attention. See, I think God speaks very gently at first. Are you listening to that still, small voice? Hey, Christian. Remember when you first got saved and you were so excited about your salvation and boy, everything you learned from the Bible was new and fresh to you and you said, I want to do that. They talked about this thing of going soul winning. I want to learn how to do that. And they talked about reading the Bible and I want to do that. And boy, the preacher would preach and something would be said about sin in your life and it would be said ever so gently. And you say, I'm going to do that. I want to change and I want to be new and I want to live like a Christian. I want to develop this lifestyle. And it just a little nudging by God. The Holy Spirit would just very simply, in a very small way, touch your heart. But you were ready to be submissive. Now what's it like? How loud does God have to be and you still can't hear it? Have you become callous to that voice of God? You see, a moth eats material a little at a time. And God, sometimes his voice, he's trying to get to us and give us little reminders and warnings so gently and so cautiously. Wouldn't it be better that you and I listened as he beckons with that still, small voice? Wouldn't it be better that way? You see, I understand now why it says, Hosea 5:12, therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, to the house of Judah as rottenness. We learn lessons from the moth and how God compared himself to a moth because a moth does not consume cloth that is carefully kept from dust and filth, and we should keep our lives clean. Secondly, a moth will eat at both inexpensive and expensive materials, which tells us that God is no respecter of persons. None of us are above or below God and his attention. Number three, a moth eats and devours in secret. We don't always get to see what God's doing, but God may be doing something that we can't see. Number four, a moth can eat at a garment and render it useless. A moth could make us throw the garment away. There, it could be that God, you push God long enough and hard enough, there's a possibility that God could put you on a shelf and God could begin to take away your usefulness. We said number six. Well, let me go to number six. Well, number five, I'll remind you that. A moth eats material a little at a time. And then number six, a moth is known for eating from the inside out.
Yes, sir.
From the inside out. Listen to this verse. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Here the Bible says that God can search us from the inside out. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 47, it says, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of the truth it is, that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of the secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. King Nebuchadnezzar said, God is a revealer of secrets. Hey, let me tell you something. A moth can get down to the inside of something, and then he begins to work his way out. May I say to you, God knows your secrets.
Yes, sir.
You say, I hid it from my mom. You didn't hide it from God.
Right.
God knows your secrets. You say, I hid it from my dad. But you didn't hid it from God because God knows your secrets. I hid it from my wife. But you didn't hide it from God. God knows your secrets. I hid it from my husband. You may have, but you did not hide it from God. God knows your secrets. God knows the very internal part of you. God can get all the way down into the belly of your thinking and into the belly of your life, into the belly of your passions. God knows you from inside out. We know each other from outside in. And a moth can get down to the inside of something and works his way out. Our God knows our secrets. You may hide them from me, but you will not hide them from God. I think we spend too much of our effort trying to impress each other. We better spend our time being right with God. I'll tell you how much you respect God. What would you not do in my presence, but you would do in God's? There are people in here. There are things that you wouldn't wear. There are things that you wouldn't say. There are places you would not go if your pastor were with you. But your God goes everywhere with you. You have more respect for a man than you do God. It ought to be vice versa. It ought to be that in private we're careful and in public we mess up in front of people. And that's because we are more concerned, have more respect for fellow man, which is just a fallen sinner, than we do for God, who is the perfect and holy one. See, a moth eats from the inside out. And in that way, our God is like the moth. He knows what's going on all the way inside. Let me give you another, number 7. There's a special warning in the Bible that's given to the rich in regard to their belongings and the moth. The rich. Let me read to you from James chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them that shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days." Let me tell you something, folks. God is warning us that if He has blessed us with riches, we should be very, very careful, because God, like a moth, can eat those things away. Let me remind you, you can't take it with you. God gave it to you. I hope you understand this. God gave it to you for Him, not for you. When God blesses us with abundance, He didn't give it to us to hoard it up. He talks about how the moth can corrupt our riches. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Folks, what you and I have down here, the moth and life can wear away at it, corrode it, and we can lose it. But anything that we send ahead to heaven will not be corrupted. It will not corrode. The moth cannot eat it. There will be no moths in heaven. No moths in heaven. You see, a heavenly investment is protected. The moth cannot corrupt there. Luke chapter 12, verse 33 says, "Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags with which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth." God said, send treasures to heaven, because the moth cannot corrupt there. Psalm 39, verse number 11 says, when thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Let me tell you something. Even your beauty, you think your beauty, you better use everything you have for God. Don't you use your beauty in a lustful way. Don't you use your beauty in a sinful way. Don't you use your beauty and make it all about you. Hey, if somehow you have some beauty about you, you better thank the God of the universe, and you better praise God for it, and you better use it for God. God said, like a moth, surely that God can consume away your beauty. God can consume that beauty. Surface beauty sometimes equals inward emptiness. If Jesus Christ is not allowed to have the honor and the glory for it. Let me say number 8. God, like a moth, will protect His people from their enemies. Isaiah 50, verse 9 says, "Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up." Here the writer of Isaiah said, "Help me, God," and God comes along, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he writes the words, "God, like a moth, will protect me." That's why, folks, you and I are not to seek revenge. We're not to seek revenge. You say, why? Don't worry. The moth will take care of you. Who's the moth? That's God. If vengeance is necessary, let the moth take care of that vengeance. Isaiah 51, verse number 8, it says, "For the moth shall eat them up like a garment." Here God is telling us that He can protect us. He can watch out for us. He is the one that is our protector. He's the one that gives us our watch care. God the moth eats away at those that would be our enemies. You know. Sometimes you look at your enemies and you think, look, they're evil and they seem to be so happy. Don't forget, God works in secret ways. God works from the inside out. Many of your enemies may have a smile on the outside, but they're miserable on the inside as the moth of the judgment of God may be placed upon them. I'm not praying that that happens to my enemies, but I do know that God said, "I'll step up and protect you. I, like a moth, I can eat from the inside out. I can consume away their uncleanness." So you may not see it, but the moth will sometimes secretly eat away at those things that are our enemies. God can eat away their prosperity. So God, like a moth, will protect His people from their enemies. And the very last point, and I'm finished. The moth is so little, yet able to consume great things. The moth, so little, yet able to consume great things. Job chapter 4, verse number 19, it says, "How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth." Be careful, folks. Never get to thinking you're big. Don't get to thinking you're real big. The slightest touch of God could crumble you. The slightest. It takes very little of God to do very great damage. It takes very little of God to do wonderful things. The little moth, I thank God, the little moth that obeys God, a little moth can consume a garment 100 times its size. The moth can eat away at us, and moth can break you down. There's nobody too big for God to break you down. Nobody at all. Big things crumble because of the little moth, and God can humble us, and He can bring us to our knees. But I see that the moth is a little thing, but yet it can consume great things. So, I was looking at the Bible, read in the book of Hosea, and I see where God said, I can behave like a moth, and I'll bring judgment. I will work my way on the inside of something, and I can eat away at it just a little here and a little there. Like a moth, He works among us. I think everything that's in the Bible is in there for a reason. I think every illustration, I think every word, I think God gave it to us so we could learn of Him. And again, as I gave in my introduction, I thank God that our God tries to teach us in a very simple and a very practical way. Thank God for a God that can give us the illustration of a simple moth, and then we, with just a little spiritual reasoning, can learn spiritual lessons from a moth. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.